Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Every year, it seems those stellar tourism numbers keep coming. They also bring the question of when those numbers will hit a ceiling. It's a query the Hawaii Tourism Authority has on the back burner while it continues to produce double-digit gains in Hawaii's four top markets: domestic U.S. arrivals from the East and West regions, Japan, and Canada. Despite the effort that went into getting those increases, HTA Chief George Seghetti seems a bit bemused. He's been on the job for about 2 years, a period he thought would result in a plateau or perhaps even a rollback of the arrival and spend numbers. George Seghetti dropped by our studio yesterday, and we talked about the difference in expectations and the banner year in progress for tourism.
As we went through 2016, it was supposed to be a little softer than the past years, but 2016 ended up being a really very good year, productive year for us on arrivals and spend. But 2017 was definitely supposed to kind of slow down a little bit, and that one, this first half of this year, have exceeded all arrival expectations, and just as importantly, or maybe more importantly, the spend has gone up significantly in 2017. So I think our industry is fragile, is very fragile at best. It always is. So I don't know if we've met our top number yet. I'm cautiously optimistic.
That very famous phrase. But as you look at the nexus of what's happening geopolitically and what has been happening in Hawaii with these tourism numbers that just keep finding new heights, what do you attribute our stellar performance?
I'd like to think that at HTA we kind of set the pace, but it is not our doing. Credit needs to go out to all of the stakeholders, the brick and mortar, the activities people, the tour companies. They all do a really good job in properly promoting Hawaii with the Hawaiian culture and the beauty of our natural resources. So I think it's all everybody kind of coming together with the same message about Hawaii being an open, safe, clean, and welcoming environment, and that's kind of resonated with travelers worldwide.
They've also seen and heard a lot about the fact that we have a number of homeless people that are very, very visible. Not necessarily the best thing for a tourism authority to have out there, but it's the way it is. What do you think the responsibility is of the tourism community in being able to help those who are homeless?
Well, first of all, it's a worldwide event. Everywhere I travel, it's everywhere. And maybe it's a little bit more magnified in Hawaii because we are a welcoming state. But I think it's a problem or an issue that's challenging, and it's going to take everybody coming together. I remember a couple of years ago when I was at the HLTA, we started a program with IHS in Waikiki to address that first, and that's worked pretty well. But I think it's an issue that really is going to take all of the stakeholders and private sector and as well as state and county government to work together.
Many of them believe that they are those stakeholders that you just mentioned. But there have also been fingers pointed at the tourism industry saying, hey, come on, you have a lot of stake in all of this. Why aren't you participating more? Do you think that tourism should be participating more in those stakeholder activities?
Well, I think they are. If you look at even this year, I believe the legislature has passed a bill where we'll be getting X amount of funds matched by private sector, and we'll address homelessness in particular resort areas. I think in many, many ways, you look at what the Hilton has done with their fundraising down there and their concert raising money and all going to the different organizations, IHS, to address homelessness. I think behind the scenes, they're very active, and they do a lot to address homelessness.
Looking at how much more we can accommodate in Hawaii, you mentioned earlier that we're not quite at the ceiling yet, but who knows what that ceiling might be. Meanwhile, we've been watching airlines come out with statements that they're going to be bringing more people to Hawaii, largely to the neighbor islands. Is this really a shift from Oahu to the neighbor islands in a way that we really haven't seen before?
Things go in cycles. At one time, it was all neighbor islands. It was get your Mai Tai, sit by the pool, and enjoy the neighbor islands. And it still is everywhere. But Oahu has been at capacity for a while. We still have rooms. Oahu has rooms. And what we try to do is make sure that we're identifying those shoulder periods and keeping things more steady instead of the peaks and valleys that we used to have. We're getting a more consistent visitor arrival. each island has its own unique character, its own unique activities, and I think that resonates with today's traveler that wants that really authentic experience. So you could zip line in the rainforests of Maui, or you can hike the Jurassic Park coastline of the Nepali coast. You can see the volcano. Each island has its own unique experience. All have amazing culinary experiences. So I think that's resonating with global travelers.
It's sometimes tough to just talk about a traveler, because that traveler could be a domestic traveler, could be somebody coming from Asia, it could be someone coming from perhaps Canada or any other place. And also you're talking about a difference in age and the way in which some, millennials included, may want to participate in Hawaii. Do you have any sense of what that new market is for Hawaii and how they're behaving differently in it?
Well, there's no doubt that the baby boomers got us here, and we really take care of them. They're the ones that have been coming 5, 10, 15, 20 years. They know the front desk. They know the concierge. But the millennials in Generation Z, they're a different traveler, and you combine that with technology and what it's put in there. They get on their smartphone and they get here and they go, where do locals eat? Where do locals hike? Where do locals swim? They want that authentic experience.
And they're probably staying at an Airbnb or something similar.
Well, that's technology. There's no doubt that, you know, there's still a big, the brick and mortar very, very popular, but there's the technology's thrown Airbnb and they've thrown Uber and they've thrown other things at us that we're all having to adapt to and figure out how you regulate it properly and make sure you can incorporate into your model. So the millennial traveler is definitely different than their mom and dad traveler.
Given the fact that in the last 6 months, according to your new report, we have people coming from the mainland, U.S., Japan, Canada, which has been in some ways Hawaii's bread and butter. But looking at how that has changed a little bit over this last year, in February, things kind of tanked a little bit there with domestic travelers, then came back up again. But looking at where you're really hoping to bring people to Hawaii now, with the pressures in Japan to keep people at home, very often with people who are on the mainland who are looking at their jobs and their lives a little differently now, maybe not so much in Canada. How is it that you're approaching it differently in these next 6 months and into next year?
Well, all of the markets you just mentioned, North America, Canada, Japan, Australia, Oceania, are all up. They're all up fairly significant on spend as well as arrivals, and they're up on all islands. So that's been a good thing. We have strategically tried to create more access on the neighbor islands where we have the room capacity, and, you know, we've been very successful at doing that this past year. People don't have to just come to Oahu. They can go direct flights, and that's where we're seeing a lot more direct flights from our airlines going to the neighbor islands, and you're going to see a lot more of that come in the second half of the year with United's commitment to 20% more flights to the neighbor islands. JAL is now going to fly, Japan Airlines now fly to Kona 7 days a week.
Hawaiian has said it.
Hawaiian's also doing it. Delta's going to fly directly into Kauai again. So access, the airlines are redirecting their planes to Hawaii, and Hawaii is a very desirable place right now.
If next year turns out to be a little bit less than this year and turns out to be a softer year as was originally predicted for this year, how will you change your strategy, and who do you think is your best market to be able to keep things afloat if you begin to see that different markets are dropping off?
Well, I think, as I said, the industry itself is very fragile. We saw it after 9/11. We saw it after the recession of 2009. I mean, it could go away. Anything in a worldwide event could impact us, and it could change it in a second. I don't have a switch to turn it on and off, so we stay the course and try to stay very focused on sustainability of our industry, and we will continue to do so. If it starts softening up, then we'll address that as it comes along. And it will. Everything goes in cycle. It's just a matter of time. So we're just trying to do enough things that we can, if it does happen, we have a plan in place to mitigate that, any kind of downturn.
Well, I look forward to our next conversation where we talk about that plan perhaps, and maybe it'll be a while before we have to do that. But thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. Aloha.
George Segetti is the president and chief executive officer of the Hawaii Tourism Authority. HTA is the state's tourism agency, established in 1998 to strategically manage tourism and integrate the interests of visitors, the community, and the visitor industry.